Amen. Before I start, I'd just like to just remind you, or encourage you really, I'm going back to camp straight after this meeting, but Malcolm's speaking tonight, and Danny's coming, and he's going to lead worship for us. Louise is going to do the words, Nigel's convening. I don't know who's doing teas and coffees, but that's besides the point. By the way, if you are on the list, check, because at this time of year, people are aware, Phil's down for it today, but I told him he could have this morning off. But it puts a burden on Keith, but so do help him out. But if you're next week, check it out. Make sure you're around or not around. Let somebody else know and they'll cover you. But now, Malcolm's speaking tonight, so do come along and encourage him. And I know some people are away, so I'm encouraging you guys. So choice, sit at home and watch a repeat of Jeremy Kyle, or come and support Malcolm and listen to God's word through him. I know you don't watch Jeremy Kyle, but you know, just see what you're up to. It'd be good for him and also for Danny. If you've got a Bible, I'm just going to read a few verses, and then kids are stopping in, so I'd like your kids a little bit of help with me Jenga, which is over here. So the verse I'm going to be looking at is in James 1, and just verse 26 to the end. Just a couple of verses. I've got a few versions of it, but I'm just going to read initially from the NIV. It says, "If anybody considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So they're the words that we're looking at this morning. But I thought we'd bring this, the Jenga, because often we can say stuff and you can speak stuff, and I'm going to try not to go too far off camera or drop this. So I'll move it to the centre. Sorry if you... I'll put it here, it's a bit more. But often you can say things, and I'm not going to nick Louisa's sermon for a few weeks' time here, but you can say things and for a relative time you can just spout stuff off and it's fine. And it's like a game of Jenga, where you can always take one out quite fast and the thing doesn't fall over. Now, the rules of Jenga are, guys, that you can't take anyone from the top two layers, full layers. And if you really want a real keen game of Jenga, take on David and Marie. They're really into, fire. So, Aaron, would you like to come and take one out? Because often we say things and we get away with it. And then you can say something else. And there you are. Say something else, and it's still doing fine. Girls, do you want to come out and get one each?
LA, middle.
Girls, do you want to come and get some? Do you want to come out? Do you want to come out? Oh, another middle one there. Darwin, do you want to come out and have a go? Bring Malcolm with you. Can have one each. On top. The problem is that as we say things, it builds up over time. Aaron, do you want to come and have another go? I mean, if any adults want to have a go, just wave at me, you can come out. But we get to that scary stage where we don't want the ones who drop it, do we? Oh, well, Carol, come on out. Yeah. We'll put it on top, that's it. Go on, Carol. You come out as well. Dawn's mini business. Go on, Kelly. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, Dawn's going right to the bottom. Slide that one out. It's stuck on the tub. Right, girls, not to have another go. Come on, then.
Can I clap for me?
That need be a five.
I love your hair.
Thank you. I think she's played this game a few times before. You know what you're doing
here.
She's
got little brothers in that.
Chloe's tapping them all. When it gets serious, Dave, we might need you to...
You can do it, boy.
No. Try one of these three,
yeah? Yeah. Oh. Good lad.
Oh, Nigel's coming in. We better watch him doing communion. Teacups. Communion wine everywhere. Oh, we're all there. Darwin, do you want to come and have another go?
Yeah, come on. Show him how it's done, Dad.
Just check the heart rate, it's going up steadily.
What about you?
Never. Me.
Richard's coming.
Wait till Dad's done. Yeah.
Go on, Richard.
Go on, show us
how it's done, Richard.
Have you got your iron one?
Go on, Richard. To show you all that stuff.
Fantastic.
Hey! Good
luck. Don't have another go. Come on, then. Aaron, are you going to have another go?
You won't get chaff, mate. Top, no.
Oh, two down.
Why?
Top two rows.
That's another adapter.
Yeah, well. It's not sugar to you.
It's gonna fall. Don't
throw
a hint, it's gonna
fall. Do 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 do.
Boo! Go on, Ellen. Do your stuff.
That won't slide out, won't that one?
Because it falls. Ellen, watch your hints that Johnny's giving you. Oop. Hooray!
Are you not having a go now?
Cool. Oh, cool. That's cool.
Aaron, do you want to have a go?
You can go for that third.
I think.
Is it third one down?
You can go for that third one down.
I never
down.
Knew that.
Came over. Go on, go for that.
No, 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 third one down here, middle one.
Ooh.
Oh, Johnny. No, you're going to knock it off from my hand. Third one down there, middle row, top, from the top.
No,
we're not allowed that
one.
That was the next one down.
Well, just pull it out. I've got to start preaching at some point. So who's going to dare go for the next one?
Go on, your turn.
Come on.
Come on, man.
Come on, mummy.
Yeah, over here.
That one.
Yeah.
That one. That one. That one. Quick. Yeah. One, two, three. You just sausage just the next person.
We'll pick them up later on. With everything that we say, and everything that comes out of my mouth. Sometimes we build and sometimes we make things unstable. And sometimes you can get away with saying something, but eventually it builds up. Eventually it comes to light. Now, James actually says, in the English Standard Version, he says, if anyone thinks himself religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart, and that person's religion is worthless. Now, you've got to keep in mind that the word religion that he's using is not the same, does not have the same meaning as what we have today. But he continues, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their afflictions and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The Message puts it this way: if anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes before God the Father, is this: to reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight and guard against a corruption from the world, from a godless world. And the New Living Translation puts it this way: if anyone claims to be religion but does not control his tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. You see, I'm going to start off with, if you claim to be religious, the word religious that James used in those days, or the meanings that was behind the word religious in those days, was one that was set apart, who was under self-control, who was godly, honouring God, a disciple. There's a lot more words around that word religion. In today's world, the word religion means somebody that goes to church, or somebody that's, well, religious. You know, we automatically think, so James is not kind of using the same meaning. And there's an interesting proverb, and we'll get into a lot of proverbs. He says this, that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Many people seem to be religious or claim to be religious, but their actions, or more to the point, what they say, undermines what they're trying to portray. Now, James at this point, it's interesting that James is actually lining us up for the next few chapters. So tonight is a carry-on from this morning, and next week is a carry-on. So we think that James paused at the end of chapter 1 and took a break. No, it's all one letter. The chapters and the verses are not in the original. So it continues straight from where I finished into what we're going to talk about tonight. And James is going to talk about the tongue. He's going to talk about our actions. He's going to talk about favoritism. He's going to talk about our behavior. He's going to talk about our faith. And all these things, in a sense, prove externally what's going on internally. But James does say that if we class ourselves as religious, then really we should act according to the word of God. It continues, if anyone thinks himself religious and does not bridle his own tongue. Interesting phrase, because we don't use the word bridle much. If you're into horses, you'll know this, and we're going to get a bit of a, I believe, a little bit of an explanation about bridle later on when we get to there, towards chapter 3. But there's a verse in Psalms that says this: do not be like the senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. As much as it's saying, bridle it, it also says, don't be like one that needs literally restraint. Sometimes we act very wisely and then we open our mouths. And everybody knows exactly what's going on, because what we speak, out of the overflow of the heart, the mind, the mouth speaks. So what's really on the inside will come out of your mouth. I remember hearing a story of a pastor, and the story goes that a lady, now this might not be just a lady, but the story is a lady came to him and says, over the years I've said a load of rubbish about you, I've gossiped about you, I've caused you trouble, and I'm really sorry, God's convicted my heart, and I'm really sorry about this. Is there anything I can do to make things right. And the pastor went, yeah, go get a pillar, an old pillar full of feathers, and go up to the hill and let them out. So the lady went up to the top of the hill with a pillar full of feathers in it, shook it, and the wind took them and went all over the valley and everywhere. And she came back to the pastor and said, I've done that. Is there anything else I should do now? He said, yeah, go pick them all back up. Because once it's come out of our mouths, you can't put it back in. See, once we started taking blocks out of the Jenga, it will becoming more and more unstable. Now, people often say, so I've been accused of lots of things, and even recently somebody says, I think you lied about that. And in reality, I'd not told them the whole truth. What I told them was truth, but I couldn't tell them the rest of the story. I couldn't tell them everything. So sometimes I'm in a position where I cannot tell everything because it kind of, it's nothing to do with that person, or really they don't need to know. And being in a position I am, it's kind of one of those things. But if we say things, once it's out, it's out. David says an interesting thing in Psalm 141 verse 3. He says, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. David actually in the Old Testament was saying to God, God, take control of my speech. Take control of what comes out of my mouth and guard my mouth for me. Yet we also know that the Bible tells us to guard our hearts. And it tells us to put a guard on our mouth. And he was saying, God, you do it. And people often today say, I'm going to pray and ask God, God, you guard my mouth. And therefore, anything else that comes out of my mouth, well, God let it out, didn't he? It sounds silly, but yet there's some people that have that kind of attitude that I prayed, God, you take control, like David did, control my mouth. And yet, we blame God of what comes out. Really, in 2 Peter 1:3, it says this, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who came to us by the glory and His goodness. God's given us everything we need to live a godly life. And He's given you the ability to bridle your mouth. Put your own guard on your mouth. So if we consider ourselves religious, we need to be careful about what we say and what we allow out of our mouths. Now I say that, guys, if you're an encourager, continue to speak it out. You know, I often look at it this way. I try to say things to people that I'd like said to me. Like, your hair's gorgeous.
Sorry.
You know what I mean? I like to say things, you know, I like to encourage people, and therefore they might encourage me, but sometimes we've got to sometimes say things that are unpleasant because we need to do that sort of thing. In Proverbs 10:19 it says this, when words are many, transgressions are not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Prudent is another word for being careful. Proverbs 10:31 it says, the mouth of the godly person gives that wise advice, but the tongue of the deceiver will be cut off. Now I don't know if that means literally, but how many people do you know that say things and after a while you just don't want to put up with it? You know, I know people who are fantastic liars, but I don't trust the word they say now. Because they're good liars, but after a while it comes out. I also know people that's constantly deceiving. Listening to people's conversations and you hear things. And I think sometimes I would rather step back from fellowshipping with certain people just because I don't want to hear that the tongue that deceives will be cut off. I don't want to hear that. Our tongue is often the thing that gets us into trouble. Our tongue is more deadly than anything else. I nearly said this, but I didn't want to upset anybody. I was going to start my sermon by saying, today, I've come to expose a member. I was going to say, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to expose a member. The problem is, the last time I did this, and I started going through it, but people crouching down in the chairs. You know, there was somebody behind the piano slightly leaning backwards. People were moving, and I'm going to expose this member. The member is the tongue. And then it was like resurrection. People pop up and go, oh, you know, it's not me then. You know what I mean? I'm not here to expose anybody. I'm trying to encourage us to bridle what we say, because what comes out of our mouths and the way that it comes out of our mouths reflects what person we really are. If we think of ourselves religious, in James' sense, godly, upright, committed, and we don't bridle our tongue, then he says it's worthless, pointless. Our tongue gets us into trouble, but also our tongue damages other people. You know, if you punch somebody, and I'm not advocating this, but if you punch somebody, within a week, if you hit them on the nose is back to shape, it's back okay. If you break somebody's arm, it'll take 6 to 8 weeks to sort out. But if you say something, it can be damaging for a lifetime. But you're not hurting anybody. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's a complete lie. It's a lie. Because it damages you, it damages them, and you need to be careful. That's why I say encourage people. Guys, if you've been hurt by people's words, then you need to just to, if you can't go back to that person and talk to them, then you need to put it before God. You need to put it there before God. I've looked at things this way now, because I grew up in an environment where many things were said, but I try to look at my past now from a God perspective, because a lot of them I can't deal with, I can't sort out, but I don't have to live there neither. I don't have to keep playing the record of what somebody said. I think some of us are. Do you remember those old record players? You could lift the arm. Now we're after you, kids, youth, young people. You have to Google this. You used to lift the arm up on the record, and you could kick it to the side, and it would just keep playing the song. Nowadays, you just put the CD on repeat on a song. But we keep things going round and round. What our dad said, what our mum said. And we live a life of blaming where we're at on what was said years ago. But we need to get the word of God, and the word of God says that we are now new creations. So instead of playing the song that you're an idiot, that you're a fool, that you'll never achieve anything, that no good will ever come to you, you're going to end up in prison, and the list went on and on for me, I play the one that I'm a child of God, and I am actually a new creation. And good will come from me. Good will come, and I will change things, not only in my own life, but in the world around me. See, it's not just what we say, it's what's been said to us. You know, no words has the ability, nothing said to you has the ability to do anything to you until you take on board what was said. So somebody could call you a fool, and it means nothing until you take it on board. Until you let it settle into your heart. Question I always ask though is, why can some people give you 10 compliments and one person give you one negative, but you remember the negative? You see, I tend to ignore the negative because I just think to myself, well, I'd rather have what you see me, God, than what they see me. And sometimes a negative's not wrong. Sometimes it needs, if someone comes up to you and says, you know, your hair's a bit of a mess, brush it. It's not a bad thing. Unless you spent 3 weeks trying to brush it. You know, or someone's trying to encourage you, but it sounds, guys, in a family, people often say things that are slightly negative. And sometimes it's for your good, not just, we're not having a go. You know people are generally having a go at you. You also know if people care about you, they'll say sometimes hard things, and we've just got to be aware of them. Proverbs 13:3 says this, those who control their tongue will have long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Taking a block out there didn't hurt initially, but eventually, it ruined everything. Probably this same verse in the New King James says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens his lips, wide his lips, shall have destruction. I like the New Living Translation. He who takes control of his tongue will have long life. You see, there's several verses in the Bible that seem to indicate, there's an idea that everybody's born. And God says, to that person I'm going to give 100 years, to that person I'm going to give 2 weeks. That's kind of not what the Bible says, because the Bible gives several verses that indicate that we can do things that will prolong our life. Now, God knows how long you are going to live because he knows the end from the beginning. But God doesn't assign people a certain time. You see, it's not God's will that kids are killed in the womb. It's not God's will that somebody should be killed as an infant. Now we're getting into somewhere, aren't we? Let's put it this way. It's God's will that everyone's saved, but not everybody is saved. So God's sovereign will in saving people, God wants everybody to be saved, but not everybody will be. It's not God's will for people to die young, and yet they do. It's life. It's not God's will that people do things that kill themselves, yet they do. But there are verses in the Bible that tell us that we can live long. And keeping a rein on your tongue, it says, you'll have long life. I look at it this way. It could mean that it just helps you get on and live life and this way. Or if you open your mouth to the wrong person, they'll kill you. You know what I mean? You've got to be careful what we get up to. What comes around the corner. I had Jezebel once, this is before I was a Christian. I had Jezebel in a phone booth. On phone somebody, but it was slightly crouched down, letting it come like this, so he only looked small. And there's a guy outside, and he comes, he says, bam, 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 get off that phone, I want to use it. So Jeff says, excuse me, put it down, went outside, smacked the guy, and came back and started talking. Because that's the way he was. It's like when, and I don't get too many of these stories, we used to drive round Leeds Ring Road in the van, big transit van, and people used to cut us up in certain model cars, and then would wave frantically at us when we pip at them and give us the finger salute sort of thing until we got to the traffic lights, and then me and our Jez would open up the doors of the van to see these big sports cars go through the red light because suddenly their sins were going to find them out. You know, we weren't going to do anything, we were just opening the doors. Let's smear him, that's all we were doing. But they didn't think that, they were off. So we need to be careful what we say. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise is like knowledge of the upright, but the mouth of the fools pours out foolishness. Out of the heart, our mouth speaks. In Ephesians 4:29, it says this, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fit for the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Ephesians 5:4, let there be no filthiness and foolish talk or crude joking which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. These are just verses that fire around that we need just to watch what we're saying, because what we say will indicate the sort of person we are. 1 Peter 3:10 says this, as the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy good long life and see many days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. So there's plenty throughout the Bible that just says to us, we need to be careful when we say things. So the original few verses, it says, remember that if... Well, I'll find the verse on that first. If anyone thinks himself religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives himself. This person's religion is worthless. Guys, we're not about a religion in the traditional sense of what is today. Religion today means somebody who does something repetitively. Jesus has come to give us life, and life to the full. And if we've got life to the full living on the inside of us, let that life to the full be expressed through what we say. Now, we all love being encouraged. We all love sweet words from people. We're all cautious of too much flattery. But we all like it when somebody says something that builds us up. Yet sometimes we are not ones that give that back. Now, some people are naturally encouragers. Some people need to learn to do it. But all of us can. You see, if we can just bridle our mouths and be careful and cautious of what we say and what when we do say something, we try to encourage people, then it's building. Guys, if you want good mates and good friends, encourage people. They'll all want to be your friend. But if you spout out negative rubbish all the time, people just back off. Now, I do understand that sometimes we're hurt on the inside. We've got pain on the inside. And that pain sometimes overflows in the conversation. But it comes across as to other people who are hurting. Some people don't want to cope with your pain because they've got their own pain. But if you encourage them, then they encourage you back. You get what you needed in the first place. Guys, none of us have got an easy life. Stop looking at other people thinking, well, it's all right for them. Well, it's not all right for them. They're still struggling as it is. They're getting through. If I asked for a show of hands, which I'm not, I'd say, who's got a pretty easy life? There'd be nobody's hands go up. I mean, anybody who's married realises it's not an easy life. Anybody who's caring for somebody, it's not an easy life. Anybody who's got responsibility, anybody who's got a job, it's not an easy life. Anybody who's trying to help people, it's not an easy life. So, but you can choose to encourage. You can choose to engage. See, I'll sit and talk for hours with anybody who's going to talk the Bible and encourage me. But if someone's going to spew out negative, do you want me to put my pastor that back on and we'll do a pastor bit? We'll sort out the problem and let's move on. No. I visited Debbie this morning. She's not well. But she's trying to encourage me. Why you come to see me? I goes, because I have. Well, you should be. I goes, I'm encouraging the girl. She's rebuking me and yet encouraging me. So it was kind of really positive. And I like that sometimes. And I want to encourage you to encourage people. Encourage you to speak good things into people's life. You see, there's a verse in Galatians, and I found this, and I think it's quite amusing. And it says this, Galatians 6, verse 3. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. I like that. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are fooling yourself. You are not important. Because of the original verses, it says the religion that our Father God accepts is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So if we think we are so important that everybody else has got to encourage us and build us and help us, we deceive ourselves. We're not that important. You see, something dawned on me recently that I wasn't put on this earth to whine and moan about my problems, even though we have problems. That God put me on this earth to grow beyond those, grow through those, grow out of those, and be somebody that helps other people in their distress. But whenever we're sucking our thumbs and concentrating on our own problems, we can't do what God's designed us to do. Everybody who's a parent, everybody who's a good parent, when their child is sick, will miss meals, will be up half the night, and still do responsibilities for everything else, and care for that child, or care for that elderly parent. By the way, when it says orphans, that's somebody who's under 16 who doesn't have a father, and a widow is somebody who's over 16 who's a woman. So guys, we ain't got any help. That's it. Men, suck it up, grow up, and be the man of God you're supposed to be. If you're a woman who's over 60 and hasn't got any kids that can help you, then you need to call upon the help from the church. And if you're under 16 and you don't have parents, then we'll help them as well. There's enough around the world, our country should say, to help people. But you know what it's like. If you've cared for somebody, help people, you've especially a young child or an elderly relative, you go out of your way and still get on with your life. You see, it's easy to blame everybody and anybody because of what they did or said. I've realised, if I look back in my own life and blame people for what they did to me, I don't know the circumstances behind why. All I got was the blunt end of it. But I look at what Jesus did on the cross and what he went through, and what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Did they know they were nailing him to the cross? Of course they did. Did they know they were whipping him? Of course they did. But in reality, it was for a greater good that Jesus knew about. And I think if he can be beat, and we all get grumpy when we're hurt, don't we? You know, you got toothache. Oh, grumpy. That's polite. We're not happy when we've got toothache. Jesus had nails running through his hands that twisted his thumbs into the palm of his hands. His chest was being pulled apart. He'd been beaten and whipped. He got a crown of thorns on his head. And he was being mocked. And it says that he was so disfigured, he wasn't even like a man, because our sins were put upon him. And yet he says, Father, forgive them. And yet I think I've got a right to hold on to stuff in my life because they did that to me. I think I need to grow up sometimes and look at things from God's perspective. We sang a song that says, early on, and the lyrics have jumped a bit. It talks about, you know, heal my heart and set me free. And let me love like you love. Now, the only thing I know about Jesus' love is he demonstrated his love for us. He didn't just go, oh, I love you. He said, Nigel, it's no point me saying to Nigel, God, I love you. It's all right for an odd time, appropriately. Not to Louisa on her own in the back room whispering in her ear. My wife would smack me and she'd smack me as well. But demonstration of love. So every time we do teas and coffees, you're demonstrating love towards your other people. Well, you could sit on your backside. It's just help. But religion that God sees as pure is that we help people and keep ourselves from being corrupted by the world. And part of that is just to watch what we say and how we say it, to be encouraged. Guys, I think you're amazing because you're listening to me waffle on and you're still looking interested. One down here taking notes, that's encouraging. You know, these guys, you are. I actually appreciate the fact that you... I appreciate the fact that you come because you don't really, you know, you could be doing something else, garden centre. Oh yeah, guys, I just appreciate you turning up sometimes just to meet with God's people, to meet together in worship. But the verse I read, if you think yourself, which I still think is funny, if you think yourself too important to help somebody, you are fooling yourself and you are not that important. But I will say this, that sometimes we can justify ourselves by saying, well, at least I'm helping. If your motives of helping is to prove a point, then before God, that's not standing. Well, nobody helps. Well, you don't really know what's going on. Guys, you know what's in your circle of life. You know where you can and who you can help. And just encourage, if you can't literally physically help somebody, you can smile at them, encourage them, text them. If you don't want to talk to somebody, just text them. Hope you're having a great day. We're praying for you. Lord bless them. You know what I mean? Just, I get them from Lois and I think, is she really? I think she just texts me going, I'm thinking about you and Joe, pray for you. Lord Jesus, just bless them right now. Yes, pray for you. No, she don't. So I'm going to be coarse joking. Not coarse joking. It's just to lighten things up because it's getting pretty heavy in here, isn't it? But God just wants us to demonstrate at this point in James. By the way, if you carry on through James, it's only going to get worse. I'm talking about what you speak. You're talking about favouritism. It gets worse from there. You know, James is not going to pull his punches. So after I've said that, we'll take a register on who's here and who doesn't turn up on the appropriate week. No, we're not going to do that. But guys, let me just encourage you to encourage. Encourage people. And then you'll be encouraged. I don't know about you, but I love it when you've done something, you've helped people, and you've got nothing personally out of it. You've done it with great motives. But then you actually do get really blessed. Just something inside you just rises up. It's like, great. I mean, you look for somebody else. It's like when you witness somebody, and you've not witnessed for a while, something sparks on the inside, and you want to go witness somebody, pray for somebody, go pray for somebody else. So, encourage. We're going to have a song.
Are we?
We're going to have a song. And some of you are great. Some of you are just thinking, I'm encouraging you. Shut up. Shut up now. So we'll have a song. We'll have, and then we'll just go for a time of fellowship. And I'll challenge every one of you. When we finish, between the finishing and when you leave, I dare you to guard your mouth and just speak words of encouragement. But I've had a bad week. Speak words of encouragement. How's that, eh? It's only for another 10 minutes if you stay for 10 minutes, an hour if you're here for an hour. But I challenge you to stir up and speak some good words of encouragement. Amen. Come with me.